I've never been so excited to preach a last-minute message in my life. It's like this was a tough one to kind of bring all together. So we'll see kind of where it ends up. But I'm excited about it because there's been several things happened already here today that are apropos to what I'm going to be talking about. I guess first I want to start with an observation, and I'm going to just ask you to think in your mind if you can shake your head yes to this. The observation is the kingdom is invading. The kingdom of God is invading. It's invading us individually. It's invading us corporately. It's invading us regionally. I think it invaded already this morning during worship, if you want my opinion on the matter. And when it happens, you know it. I mean, there's no guesswork involved. Your spirit feels the connection to the Spirit of the Lord, and you know the peace, the joy, all those things that the week drags away from us, they come back in, and we get refilled, and it's good, right? I mean, it's really good. I had a really good time this morning, and I know that y'all did too, worshiping the Lord. And so we've heard this at different points over the last few weeks about, you know, the presence of God being compared to a river, right? Maybe 2 weeks ago we had another phenomenal worship service and some words afterwards on the river that was in the sanctuary. So let's use that analogy here. And so that's my observation. And I really don't know how to launch into this, but one thing that I think is true when you feel the kingdom of God is you don't want to stop the flow, right? Like you don't want to get out of that place. You just stay there forever if you could, because things seem right, because you're connected, because you've recentered with your love and your joy and your peace. And here's my argument for the day. And here's where I'm going to launch in. We can't eat the seed that the Lord gives us on Sunday morning. And this is, that sounds harsh, and I don't mean it to be that way. I just hang with me for a little bit as we get into this thing. But we want the flow to keep moving. Well, there's only one way that that happens, is if you keep the flow moving. Is, you know, you take what you receive in the presence of God, whether it's here Sunday morning, whether it's in your quiet place during the week, you take that out and you release, right? And so let me just stop there. Mike, can we put up the 2 Corinthians 9 scripture, please? And I've picked the Message translation for this, because I like the way that it conveys that scripture, but feel free to read it in your own translation. And it's kind of long. We're going to have two slides here, so let's hang with it. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, and when you read it in the Message Bible, this next part's like a scripture from the Old Testament and is kind of set off by itself. He throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. Y'all ever get wore out? Yeah. Okay, me too. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Next one. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgivings to God. This relief offering is a prod to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God, being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they will respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift, His gift. No language can praise it enough. I could camp there for 3 weeks probably and just talk about that. But the gist of it is, you know, God is faithful. He is generous. He gives. When we are faithful and generous and we give, we get a gift back, according to that last verse there. So it's His gift. When someone that we've been generous with, someone that's what we've received, we've passed it to them intentionally, they're blessed by it, it comes back. Okay. So, you know, that's a good place to start. I'm not going to go too much deeper into that. But I want to ask the question, what do we do with that? You know, like literally, what do we do? Do we just read it and say, oh, that's nice, and then go on? Or, you know, how can we take the principle there and do something with it? And part of the reason I'm excited this morning is because I get to give homage to my Vineyard roots a little bit. I'm going to read something from John Wimber, who's the founder of the Vineyard, and folks that have been very influential in my life. Some of you probably know, I think it was early 90s or mid-90s, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Toronto at the Airport Vineyard Church up there, where some unusual things were happening. And John Wimber was the leader of the Vineyard at this time, and he was asking the Lord, what am I as the leader, what are we as the Vineyard movement supposed to do with this, God? You know, we've never seen this before. We want to steward it properly. Give me something to help me steward this in the way that you would have us. And so he received a vision from the Lord. And the vision was a beautiful mountain lake with its water running into a river, flowing down into a large plain with acres and acres of vineyards. Now, I don't think that's even a pun. And people digging irrigation ditches. So just picture that. You know, you're like California or something. You got the mountains where there's a beautiful lake up there. It flows down into the valley full of vineyards. And then there's all these workers out there, you know, digging ditches. And I got this article off maineandplain.com. It's a vineyard website. And the guy that's writing this, I'm just going to read it. John asked what it meant. The impression he got was that the lake was the Spirit of the Lord. The lake was the Spirit the Lord was pouring out, and the flowing river was the church. The Lord seemed to be saying, I'm pouring this blessing into the church first. He realized that the ditches were ministry to the poor, sick, broken, and lost. Then the Lord said, this blessing can either stay in the church with great meetings that eventually end, or you can let the water begin flowing out. You can direct the water, the blessings, into the fields. The impression he got was that of co-laboring. God was pouring out his blessing. But if we didn't dig the ditches, it wouldn't go out into the marketplace of life, reaching out to people. If we didn't do the things God calls us to do, the blessing would dry up and the flow would stop. John saw the Toronto outpouring as, quote, unto something. It wasn't just for us Christians to enjoy. It wasn't just to have great experiences and exciting meetings. It was to be taken into the fields in the form of renewal and ongoing Holy Spirit ministry. It was power to do the gospel, power to equip the church in order to continue the work of Jesus, witnessing the good news of the kingdom by telling our stories, feeding the poor, healing the sick, setting the demonized free, reaching the lost, planting churches, doing missions. So, what do we do? We dig ditches. There's probably more, but that's where I'm going today. We're gonna talk about digging ditches. And you know, I work at a nursery. It's a farm, and so I want to talk about ditches for just a minute. You know, if you have property, your property is going to get rain. If you get rain on your property and you don't have ditches to direct the flow, your property gets ruined because the water goes the path of least resistance and blows things out. And I've spent thousands of dollars this year fixing water damage because my ditches weren't right. Okay. When you dig a ditch, the water comes down. And this is really not rocket science, but it's like so critically important to, you know, farmers and folks that work with buildings and excavating sites and stuff. You know the water's coming. You plan for a lot of water, and you put ditches in to control the flow. Okay? Ditch is messed up. Everything's messed up. It gets muddy. It gets eroded. It pollutes things. It's just not good. So, we're going to come back to ditches in a second. But when you think about what I just read there from John Wimber, the path to increased presence, to the increase of God's presence, is to give it away. Is to give it away. And I want to look at it, just a couple more scriptures here, and then we'll go into some practical things on this. Mike, can I have Matthew 10... 7 and 8. Well, this is like an old English version. I don't usually use the ones that say ye. As ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely ye received, freely give. And, you know, I know that this is not a new concept, but I am confident in what the Lord told me last couple of days on what to do here. We're just kind of blowing the dust off it, okay? So just hang with me on this. There's four things there that you can do to give away the things that the Lord has given you. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cleanse the lepers. You can cast out demons. I probably should have picked some gentler ones for an introduction, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff too. But literally, I mean, that's what Jesus told his disciples to do. You know, we are disciples of Christ just like they were. That is our call. That is what I want to see. That is what I want to experience. That is what I want to be able to give. And I know you talked about it this morning, Craig. Just I can't remember what it was there after worship, but you know, sometimes we just struggle for boldness. Sometimes we, and I'm being very personal right now for myself. I'm in a strange place. You know, 2 years ago, like, we'd see somebody with a need. I'd be up there with my hand on them, heal their elbow, in Jesus' name. And, you know, if I'm being honest, I lost that somewhere, and I'm committed to getting it back. But that's a charge. And let's go to Luke 6:38, please. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And again, the old English thing's hard for me, but when you give, it comes back to you. Bigger, better, more full than what it was when you gave it. Luke 14:12. And he said to him also that had bidden him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor rich neighbors, lest haply, man, I can't. Hang with me here now. 14:12. Let's read it out of the good old NIV. This is the last one, so we're on the home stretch here. Jesus was at the Pharisee's house, and they were giving him some problems. And he said to the host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So if you give something to somebody and they don't give anything back, you've given a gift, right? Because you're not expecting anything in return. And we've done read 3 or 4 times what happens when you give a gift to people. It comes back to you. And it's not all about the blessing, so don't confuse what I'm saying here. It's not about getting a blessing. It's about doing what Jesus called us to do. It is nice to know that when you spend yourself for the cause of Christ, that you know that He's got your back with what you need, right? But it's not about the blessing. So the path to increased presence is to give it away. And so what we talked about there again was, you know, the commission to the disciples: raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, feed the poor. That's the point from Luke 14:12. There's countless commands to feed the poor. What's that mean? You know, it means all kinds of things, but it's very simple. It means feed the poor. And personally, I'm convinced that, you know, we can give things away in here all day long, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's a safe place. But I think to the extent that we're able to take the gifts that God has given us and give them away outside these doors to unbelievers, I think that is when our eyes are going to bulge and we're going to be like, wow. We're going to be amazed at, you know, how the power and the presence of God works outside these doors. So practical steps here about digging ditches. What can we do? You know, how do we give the presence away? How do we position ourselves and understand in our minds and know that we're in that place to be a vessel? First thing is review and stay conscious of the ditches you've already dug. Some of us just ended up in ditches. I've ended up in a few ditches I didn't even know I dug. But nonetheless, you know, you're there and you've got these people that have needs and you're connected to God. You know, that river comes down the mountain, down the river, into your ditch. And things happen. You know, the water's where it's supposed to be. But one thing we got to do too is we got to make sure that our ditches aren't blocked. I use the illustration from my nursery again. When people just aren't very smart when they drive at my nursery, because they see a mud puddle and they got to go drive through the mud puddle. When the way I have it set up is that mud puddle goes into a ditch, and if they'll just go around it, the water continues to flow. But those trucks go through that mud puddle, and they pooch up a bunch of mud there that blocks my ditch, and the mud puddle gets bigger. You understand what I'm saying? And I think that's something that just happens slowly over time. It's like you've got this group of people over here, and you're saying, "Lord, why can't I get through to them?" You know? And there might be something there that's just kind of a chronic situation that's happened over time where some stuff's built up that water can't get through. And so just being able to turn your mind in that direction allows you to look at the situation and say, "Lord, show me what's stopping it. You know, I'm tired of beating my head off this wall or going around this mountain again. Show me. Let's get it out of the way. Let's get the water moving where it's supposed to go again. One more thing. We can... let's go back. We stay conscious of the ditches that we've already dug. We make sure they're not blocked. If we don't have any ditches, like I'm trying to work through this thing here and figure out where the Lord wants me to dig a ditch, because I know that He does. You know, I feel that deep down. I've talked with a few of you about it. It's like I'm ready to let some water loose, Lord, and I feel You telling me to do that. You know, show me the place. You got to seek the Lord on the next frontier. Start digging. And, you know, sometimes digging ditches is not glorious. I mean, I've dug plenty in my day. Grew up on a dairy farm and shoveled cow manure. My right arm is forever like twice as big as my left arm just from the shovel, you know. It's just the way. But it's a totally, excuse me, unglorious job. Digging a ditch, and it's often not something you want to do. It might be hard to feel the presence of the Lord when you're digging a ditch, but if you can see the result, you know, if you got that hope anchored in Christ and what He wants to do, and you're sure that's the plan, you know, he'll give you the grace for it. So be conscious of the ditches we're in. Make sure they're not blocked. Seek the next frontier, start digging, and these are like, you know, popcorn. Pick the one that works for you. This isn't a recipe here. And I think it's okay to jump in your neighbor's ditch too. I really do, and I think the picture that came to mind when I was putting this together is a military battlefield, you know, and you got a buddy over there in a foxhole that's under fire. And, you know, he's there because he's trying to get water through that ditch, or he's trying to advance the kingdom, you know, pick your metaphor. And, man, what a boost to see somebody come flying across the field, dodging the bullets to get down in there with you and try to get that water moving. I think it's good. All right, this might be my last vineyard quote for the day. And this comes from John Wimber, too. He said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. I'm sure we've heard that one before. Faith equals risk. You know, it's true. You're not going to run to your buddy's foxhole because it feels cozy and there's no danger. Commitment is spelled M-O-N-E-Y, or T-I-M-E, the time part's mine. But this is like, I don't want to make it too serious, because, you know, we're commanded to feed the poor. We can feel good to go and feed the poor. We're obeying Jesus if we go feed the poor. However that manifests itself, taking somebody groceries, having a barbecue, and inviting people to your house, whatever. But, you know, there's some new frontiers where you want that ditch to go that are kind of scary. And, you know, we're asked to call, we're called to count the cost. And what that means is, you know, it might not be too hard to dig the ditch and get the water moving there. But that's going to open up something. You know, you're going to, whenever people encounter the Lord, there's a follow-up process there that needs to be kind of premeditated. And you got to be willing to do that. You know, to see the miracle, man, that's great. Lord, thank you. You know, you blessed me and this person by showing yourself faithful. Now, let's take it the next step. You know, because again, we're outside the church. People may not necessarily know the Lord. They may still get healed. And that healing may lead to the opportunity to minister salvation to them, which leads to the opportunity to disciple that person. You know, the good news is we're not called to do that alone. You know, that's why we have a church. That's why the church was created. created and set in place the way it was, so that, you know, if you're the person with the miracle gift and you've got the evangelist there with you, boom, you know, it's on. And then if you got the pastor there with you, they get discipled, and that's the way that it's supposed to go. And one thing we don't want to do, a couple things we don't want to do. First is we don't want to get stuck in the mud. And Mike, do you have Matthew 10:14 with no yees? I got it here. Okay. All right. So we don't want to get stuck in the mud, because what happens is, and I have experienced this a lot, and it's a maturity opportunity, which I am still deeply involved in. Because when you go out there and you see somebody with a need, let's say that they need healing, and you don't know that person, but you're just trying to follow the Lord. You're trying to be obedient. You're trying to give away some of that stuff that's been deposited in you. And you go say, "Can I pray for you about this? I believe the Lord wants to heal you." And they say yes. Most people do. And you lay your hand on them. You give them your best prayer. You know, maybe nothing happens. Maybe they get weirded out, but you feel the situation change, and you feel that they're not receptive. I'm not saying this happens all the time. I'm saying that this is what can happen. You feel the receptivity of that other person shut down, and you know you gotta know that, and you also gotta know that just because that happened doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. You were being obedient to the Lord, and this is the part that's hard to get over, because you know you're committed, you're taking a risk, you're out of your comfort zone, and you get out there and it just kind of fizzles. And this is what Jesus said after he said, "Go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons." A few verses later, he says, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that town or home or maybe person." In other words, it's okay. You know, it's not like a indictment, like you're indignant. You're like, "Huh, you know, so much for you, whatever. It's okay. You know, God loves you. I'm going to keep praying for you. And just keep moving on." That question, "Did I do something wrong?" is one that plagued me. And still does, I guess, really. It's like, because you know, the miraculous is, the kingdom of God is real. You know, we believe it. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to do these things, but we live in an imperfect world. And, you know, we're kind of stuck in that tension between the will of heaven and the resources to do it, and our ability to, in our imperfect flesh and with all the stuff going on around us and the prince of the power of the air at work, to not see things happen. And, you know, you can get demoralized if you're not careful. And there's one other thing we don't want to do here, because again, we're talking about rivers and water. And this was a big one in my life in particular. Is you don't want to hold on to the shore when the river is trying to take you somewhere. And a friend of mine a few years ago said she had a vision of me in the river up to my waist. And I thought that was cool. It's like, all right, I'm in the river. You know, that's a good place to be, in the river. And what the Lord revealed to me is, you're in the river, but it'd be a whole lot better if you just let go of that thing you're hanging on to up here on the shore. And, I mean, it was a huge... a huge moment in my life in many ways. And there's a process for that too. But, you know, it's all about flow. It's all about, you know, our relationship with the Lord, being able to receive from Him to fill our vessel and then leave and then let it overflow and then fill it back up, and our vessel gets bigger. Okay. I like this video a lot. It's very simple. It's kind of entertaining. And I just want to take a few minutes and watch it. It's kind of like a round peg in a square hole a little bit with the message. But we're going to make it work. So.
And I said, you know, there's that passage in Luke 14 that's always bugged me. Because in Luke 14, verse 12, it says, he said to the man who invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And I go, man, I remember studying that passage and I thought, man, I've never even given a banquet for the poor or the crippled or lame or blind. Whenever I give a dinner or I have dinner, I always just invite my friends, my brothers, my relatives, my rich neighbors. And go, okay, I'll pay this time, you pay next time. And we just take turns. And I go, man, help me out. I'm reading this and it says, when you give a feast, invite the poor. What does that mean in the Greek? Because, I tried to look it up in the Greek. It seemed like it was saying that when I give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And I'm just like, man, can we just do it? Can we not just argue and spiritualize? Well, I think it's a banquet of the heart. You know? You know how we do that in our studies? I think it's a heart attitude. You just walk by the poor and go, I'm having roast beef with you in my heart. I'm, you know... It's like, can we just look at it and go, gosh, it seems like Jesus said when I give a banquet. And so let me just do that. Can we just have a banquet? And so we said, let's get a banquet. Let's just invite the poor. Let's just invite all of these people in this area. And we started inviting them and we started saying, look, I'm bringing chefs in. Anything you want to eat. You want lobster, you want steak, you want shrimp, you want whatever. Just come. Come to this banquet. It's going to be insane. Like they have no clue. Like they're going to walk in and everyone's just going to be taking care of them, you know, treating them like royalty. You know, they're going to walk away with these gifts, not little cheap gifts, but like some serious gifts, power tools, like crazy things. Like what? Here, I just want to spoil you the way God spoils me. And I just remember the week before I was telling some people about it, and my heart just started pounding, it started racing because I was so excited. And then it hit me. I thought, God, is this how you feel about me? Is this the way you feel where you think, oh man, Francis has no clue. He has no idea what I have in store for him. He has no idea what this banquet's going to be like. He just thinks it's like everything else. But man, I have something prepared for him. And precious in my sight is the death of my saints. Because then I get to be with them. And they're going to be my inheritance. And it just hit me like, God, is that what you think about me? Like right now in heaven, is that God on his throne thinking, I can't wait till Francis gets up here. Man, he has no idea how good my banquet is.
Makes me want to run and jump. And because the thing is, man, it ain't complicated. You know, you go and you put yourself out there and you get some direction from the Lord, whatever you got to do. But some of the most blessed times in my life have been when I didn't have much to give, but we went and did it anyway. And every single time, the Lord comes in and reminds me of how much bigger He is than any of the crap that I'm going through. You know, so maybe if I'm going through some crap right now, maybe that's an answer, you know. Just get out there. Just, you know, go lower the hammer. Go give some stuff away and watch. what the Lord will do with it. Just watch. I don't know. And I struggle with this message largely because my personal journey and what I hear from the Lord to speak about, we're doing this all week. And that's a hard place to be. It really is, because I want to be faithful and make sure that what's coming through my mouth is from Him for what He wants y'all to hear. But you know, we got a bunch of young people in here, and I'm gonna get on my old dad advice soapbox here for a minute. So just give me some space. I remember when I was younger. It's not very good memories, but I don't have a lot of regrets in life. But I do have one or two, and one of the main ones is I wish that when I was younger, somebody would have talked to me about generosity, about feeding the poor, or being nice to the kid that nobody wants to hang out with, you name it, because it is such a foundational life principle, and I will challenge anybody here to put it to the test and see if you're not blessed in some way from it. I'll go through a couple experiences with you here that my family has had in this regard, and then we're going to wrap it up. I used to get totally freaked out by poor people, people with needs, people on drugs, like totally freaked out. Like, they're not safe. I don't want them in my house. I don't want them. I just don't want to be around them, period. You know, they made their choices. You know, why in it? Whatever. Which is wrong. There's no question in my mind about that. But I don't even know what happened. I think I know what happened. We had some friends that were just the biggest hearted, most compassionate, people loving, Jesus following people. And it got a little contagious. It's like, I want to go work with them. I want to help them. I'm still not sure that it's safe. I'm a bad parent. If I expose my kids to these people, whatever. And you got to make your own choice. I'm not judging that. But I know for my wife and I, when we decided to lock arms with these people, particularly with this one little girl named Mercy, her mother was a methamphetamine addict, and this baby was born to her, and our friends had a heart to see that family stay intact, that mother and that daughter. And man, it broke our whole family. Just going through that, and seeing the struggles that people have. And you talk to her mother, and her mother did not want to be where she was. She just did not have the strength to get out of the situation. And I'm not going to go into counseling here, but that was the reality that set in to Hillary and I. And this little girl will be at our house for, a week, a few days at a time. And we practically adopted her. Our kids were just in love with her, and it was such an experience for me, because all that, I guess, judgment that I had towards those kind of people just totally melted away, and it totally changed, the way that we saw people, the way that we saw problems that people had. And you got to count the cost, because that was the other realization that I had. It's like, sometimes there is no right answer. There's definitely no easy answer to this stuff. But when you are involved in that situation, we had a party at our house one time with some folks from church, and we had some guitars there, and we all ate, and we're all in there worshiping. And I was praying for this little girl during worship. And during that time, and what I'm talking about here is giving away and getting back from God. I want more of God's presence. I'm a lover of His presence. I want to be a giver of His presence. I'm praying for this little girl, and you know, deeply, like, Lord, protect her. Lord, put your hand on her. And I look at her, and I see an angel wrap his wing around this little girl. I'd never seen an angel before, man. It freaked me out. I'm in my living room, and it's like, I want to say, I'm not seeing that. You know, because it was uncomfortable, but it happened. And when I told that to our friends who were neck deep in this situation, man, it blessed their socks off. You know, he showed me that angel for them so I could tell them and make them feel like everything that they were going through, that this little girl was going to be okay because, you know, the Lord had his arm around her. And, you know, the point of this whole story is we got outside of what was comfortable. We decided in our hearts that we wanted to pour out some of the things that we'd been given. And that you can pour out all kinds of stuff. It doesn't have to be money. You know, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, it's yours, you know. We did that, and if our cup was this big before that experience, our cup was this big after that experience. That was one experience, okay? I want like 100 more of those, and I'm at that place where it's like I kind of know the cost. I probably don't fully understand it yet, but I'm okay to go ahead and move forward. And you know what I want to do? I want to move forward with you guys.
Hallelujah. That's
what I want to do. And it's, I don't know how to do it. I don't know where to go with it. I know that if we start digging a ditch somewhere, or if Joe's got a ditch and needs some help digging, I'm going to grab a shovel. I'm going to go get with him. And, you know, we're going to make some water flow somewhere. And it's not going to be easy. It'll be an adventure. You can count on that. And it'll be the will of the Lord. We'll be taking His mercy and compassion and moving it from the kingdom through us to somebody. And so I got, man, 10 after. I think here's what I want to do to wind this up. I've got three buckets here that I'm going to describe, and I'm just going to ask you to think in your mind, you know, which one of these buckets is standing in your way or could be standing in your way, okay? And so I'm going to read these, and we'll take a minute or two just to ponder that. I'm going to pray, and if it's 10 after 12 and your ham's burning in the oven, just go ahead and be dismissed. But what I would like to do for anybody that that falls into one of these buckets that's willing to stay is I want to pray into some of these things. I want to do it together. You know, I want your neighbor to go over there and hear what's standing in your way and to pray for you and see if we can get that out of the way. And it's like that military battlefield analogy. When you jump in somebody's foxhole, you've increased your covenant with them. You know, you've strengthened your relationship with that person. They know next time something happens, they can count on you. Okay? And these are the types of things where when we do this together, we understand each other, we grow with each other, we're like 100 times more ready to go out and flow outside the walls of the church and bring God's kingdom. So, is that okay if we do that? I'll line out the buckets. I'll pray. If you got to go, go ahead. And then when I get done praying, I don't know how we'll do it. I'll figure that out in just a second. So, bucket number one. You need the Lord to reveal where you need to dig your ditch or where you need to sow your seed. Because you got the burning, but you don't have the outlet. Okay? That's the first one. The second one is you need to take God at His word that He will bless your giving. That if you don't have the time or the money or whatever the resource is, that you take him at his word, that if you give, it'll come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Don't worry about it. Take the step. And thirdly, the boldness to risk. You know, to get over yourself and align yourself with the will of God and watch what he will do. And be okay if it doesn't go the way that you have it envisioned in your mind, but to keep moving forward with it. So reveal where you need to dig. Take God at his word that he will bring back whatever you're fixing to give if the giving hurts. And the boldness to risk and be okay with the outcome and know that you're in the will of God. So Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for each and every person here. Because I know their hearts, Lord God. I know the things that they're involved in. And Lord, I just pray that you would begin to illuminate those things that are keeping us from moving in this direction with you, God, individually and as a body. Because, Lord, we know that that these things will bring balance to our spiritual walk. That it will bring your fullness, that it will bring your kingdom into people's lives, that it will be sowing seeds that will last forever. So, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you come and you would just reveal these places in our lives. And, Lord, that you would just bless this time as we get together here in a minute and pray for each other. And Lord, anybody that needs to go, I just pray that they go with your blessing. Thank you for everything that you've done so far in this service. And thank you for everything, Lord, that you want to do here in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I think this is the part where you got to get pragmatic about some of this stuff. So what I want to do is we had three buckets there. If you need the Lord to show you where to dig your ditch, why don't you just go over to that side of the room? If you need God to give you the confidence that you can take him at his word, we'll gather up here in the middle. And if you need boldness to risk, we'll go on over to that side. And if you got more than one, that's okay. But we just need to get split and get a toehold on praying for each other here. So. Don't everybody move at once now.